Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Hour one talking about Anthony Richardson being back for the Colts. He'll be the starter. Trevor Lawrence won't start for the Colts against, the Jags, against the Lions. He is shooting for the Texans game for his return. The Jags have a bye after this weekend, and he wants to be back for that Texans game. So the Texans may miss out on the Mac Jones experience, which is unfortunate. Playing Mac Jones is fun. If you're the opponent, because you can have Sam Darnold be as awful as he was for the Vikings and still not be concerned because Mac Jones is on the other side. So I don't expect CJ to play as poorly as Sam Darnold did against the Jags, but if he did,
we got problems.
It'll be better if Mac Jones is on the other side.
We have so many problems. Yes, you're right, but we have so many. If he plays like Sam Darnold did.
Yeah. He was awful that afternoon against the Jags.
Clock struck midnight on Sam Darnold.
Yeah, we're getting the I see ghost vibes from Sam Darnold again.
I think the first half of the season he already did enough to where it's like he will be a quarterback in the league for a while.
Yeah, he found a way to keep the Sam Darnold stock high enough where he'll get a job next year.
He's not going to be Josh Rosen enrolling in business school next year.
No.
But maybe we pump the brakes on the Sam Darnold hype.
Now, we'll get to Chris Sims, speaking of quarterbacks who didn't play well in the pros. But
made a playoff.
Yeah, he was one disaster
with,
away.
With Gruden.
It's true. Shred him, Sims.
probably didn't say that a lot.
Probably did not say that. Chris Sims, we'll hear from him in a little bit. But now I'm off track. But, okay. Trevor Lawrence eventually looks like he'll be back. And that game, his return game, should be against the Texans. But Sam Darnold, before we get to Chris, Sam Darnold, has he played well enough, but too well to come back with the Vikings? Because the expectation is J.J. McCarthy, their first-round pick, will be the starter next year, as long as he's healthy and ready to go. So if they make the playoffs, which they should. It's not guaranteed, but they should. Can you come back to a team where you lead them to the playoffs and they go, sorry, we're going to our guy? Do you have to go someplace else? Because there's too much there. Like, even if Justin Jefferson secretly hates him, which is very possible, I think.
There's no evidence.
There's no evidence to say it's not true.
Just intuition.
Trust me.
I would hate him.
I would.
There you go. I would hate him.
If Justin Jefferson had Sean Mapes' brain, he would hate him. But look, it's all good when you're winning games, but I imagine that 12-7 slop fest that they just won couldn't have sat well with Justin Jefferson. And if a couple more go that way, maybe not hate. Maybe Justin Jefferson isn't a hateful person, but get him out of my face type feelings, maybe. But you win that many games, you make the playoffs.
there might be some feelings from people who say, hey, Sam Darnold should come back, because we don't know anything about what J.J. McCarthy will be. Now, the organization has a different view. They're not the players. They're going to say, hey, we drafted McCarthy for a reason. Sam Darnold was supposed to be either some type of mentor or just the full-on backup until McCarthy got hurt. Although, Kevin O'Connell told us that Sam Darnold was the starting quarterback going into training camp, so it had not gone that well for McCarthy. I don't know if you can bring Sam Darnold back if they make the playoffs.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but then your backup they're going to be looking for is basically Sam Darnold, just a different person.
True. True.
But just like a different human being, so fans and the team can't be like, well, this guy led us to the playoffs last year. It just has to be a different version.
They got Nick Mullins there. They'll just revert to Nick Mullins as the backup.
I was going to say, is it Carson Wentz time or just like other backup where it's like, yeah, sure, this guy failed late 2010s first-round pick.
I think they have the perfect non-controversial person to take over for the backup role. You give that job to Nick Mullins, let him sit there, and Sam Darnold will have to go someplace else. Because if McCarthy struggles early, you don't want the, hey, we know Sam ain't great, but he ain't this. You don't need those. That's how you get Joe Flacco starting games for you. And then you're reverting back to Anthony Richardson. No one's calling for Nick Mullins. No one.
Oh, you know who you get? Daniel Jones after he gets cut from the Giants.
Who wants that?
Reclamation project Kevin O'Connell.
He's a better option than Nick Mullins, I'll say that.
But also, no one in the fan base, after one interception, is going to go give us Daniel Jones.
It's true. Although Daniel Jones probably had his best moment as a pro in that building, beating them in that playoff game.
That's the reason he's in the predicament he's in right now.
It's the Giants and Daboll. That's a predicament. Hey,
Daboll did too good of a job
that
coaching
first
him
year,
that first year.
And they paid him, and now they are where they are. Okay. Sam Darnold, maybe future Texans backup quarterback. No one's calling for him here. Would be a good backup.
Yeah, you got Davis Mills. Come on.
I'm taking Sam Darnold over Davis Mills.
So would I, but I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a difference. It's not a big enough difference to where I want to change them out.
Before you stand on that, remember, Davis Mills wasn't good enough to hold off Case Keenum. When they needed a win, they went to Case Keenum, not Davis Mills. Just to point that out.
That's true.
Just to point that out.
They'll have Case Keenum next year.
Case ain't just coaching and being in HEB commercials. He's going to be on the active roster again next year. Is that going to be a thing next year?
I actually don't know that. But
If I'm Case,
I imagine not.
If I'm Case Keenum, they want me to, sure. Well, the backup check's good.
Yeah, better than assistant quarterback coach or whatever
definitely.
His first coaching job.
Helping out Gerard Johnson, yes, it's definitely better. The paycheck's definitely better. So if I'm Case Keenum, I would understand it. We hope not to see him play next year, but if he's around, cool. Let's get to the guys who are playing who may be affecting your franchise quarterback. Texans offensive line, a source of concern for everyone, including people nationally, people who want C.J. Stroud to succeed, people who have a lot pushed in on the C.J. Stroud stock. A lot of people are fans of him, want him to play well. The offensive line is hindering that partly. Here's Chris Sims on some of the Texans' issues and what's going on here.
Institutional problems. You mentioned it. The injuries at receiver are an issue. It's second year of Bobby Slowick's scheme, and I do think people have caught on to that. I've said a little bit on my podcast and Chris Sims Unbuttoned that, yeah, it's the Shanahan scheme, but it's like the early entry level of the Shanahan scheme. And now there needs to be more to it and a next level and a next group of plays and things they do, and we've yet to see that. But the big thing is what you said, Kevin. It's the protection. And it's not only the protection of the men themselves, the Jimmys and the Joes up front, which there's issues there in the interior, but there's been games, whether you go back to Green Bay and other games too, where the schematics of how they block up front are an issue. And defenses have figured out how to expose them and how they block certain looks and kind of trick them. And that's been a big problem from them too. And that's led C.J. Stroud to be under duress and not enough good plays or plans against the blitz from the Houston Texans offense.
That was Chris Sims on with Kevin Clark. Kevin Clark, of ESPN. So I thought, at least coming into the year, this offense would expand. It was year two. The young quarterback knows more. The OC knows the quarterback better. We were going to see new things to open up this offense. Of course, all the weapons that were projected to be on the roster was part of that math that I was doing, and that has changed because of injuries. We'll get Nico back. Aaron Wilson reporting that he was could have been a full go for Sunday night, but the Texans wanted to hold off a week, get him a full week of practice, so he'll be ready to go this Monday against the Cowboys. So injuries certainly could change things, but I thought even beyond the roster itself, the offense would expand. And according to Chris Sims, that has not happened, and it's leading to protection issues. So as I think the consensus is and remains, it's not a one-person issue. It's that starting five, it's the coordinator, it's the OC, it's the offensive line coach, and it's the quarterback. And, of course, it all falls under DeMeco. They have 3 weeks kind of to play around, but to figure it out. They're not expected to lose any of these games. And, in fact, in some cases, when you consider the opponents, win kind of easily. The Cowboys one is on the road, so road game, you never know. But it should be a team that gets to 9-4, and hopefully they figured out their problems. We won't really know anything until they play better teams. I say that, and then the words got out of my mouth, I'm kind of retracting, because the issues that they face don't have anything really to do with how good the other team is on the other side of the ball as far as the defensive line. They fail with basic things. And that's just, hey, there's another body on the other side, and you got tricked, or you got beat with a stunt. So I'll take it back. We will learn something in the next three games if the offensive line fixes some of their issues handling games and stunts. That is something you can tell, because unless the Cowboys and the Titans and the Jags don't lean into it, that should be something they're testing the Texans with over and over again to see if they figured it out. Why would you do anything else? The Cowboys have Michael Parsons, by the way. So they don't even need games to just beat you, at least with him.
Yeah.
But they will loop him around. They'll bring him around from the edge, and he'll be a guy who attacks the center guard gap. So
listen, the Texans know what they need to work on, all right? They just need to do it.
Executing.
And they'll do it. They'll execute this week. I know they said that for the last 2 months, but this time.
It counts?
This time they'll do it. What if they're playing possum the entire time?
I don't know if you play possum and it leads to you losing games.
There's rope-a-doping.
Rope-a-doping who? The Cowboys? They want to trick the Cowboys into thinking they can't figure things out?
Just the next three games. So they're going to get easy wins.
Well, I would say.
They're going to keep trying stunts, and then, you know, the Great Wall of Kirby is going to stop them. That's what I'm calling the offensive line when they start playing well.
It's not a bad one. I don't think you're going to be able to use it very much, but it's not bad. Unfortunately, I called Brent Strom the Butcher of Bel Air. He's not around enough for that to get real traction for me.
No, but it's fun.
Yeah, I think his jokingly I say this just to be clear, his legacy. Who knows? His legacy lives on with the Houston pitchers in their arms. It's been a thing for a while now. That's why I say legacy. The brick wall of what again?
I said great wall.
The great
of
wall
Kirby.
Of Kirby. Honestly, I hope they figure it out so we can use that. So
it'd be a great poster of them all
standing
with their
around,
arms folded.
All flex, yeah. But the problem for me is I don't think they would do the whole promo thing where they're wearing like where they were wearing Texans uniforms. You remember that Giants photo when they went?
Yeah, I know exactly where when you're they on
all
the boat.
All the Giants receivers were posing on the boat in like jeans and no shirts on.
Yeah,
I think the Texans offensive line would do something similar. They're drip gods. I don't know if you've heard.
I have heard. Yeah. I've heard. People love it.
Yes, yes. People are in love with the offensive line who doesn't block being drip gods. Everyone loves it.
No one throws it back in their face.
Not at all.
No.
Too busy worried about your drip instead of, you know, blocking anyone. No one ever says that. So while I think the picture you're you're imagining in your head is great. You are thinking about something that would happen in like the late 90s. Not anymore.
Yeah, they don't really make posters anymore.
No, and if they did, someone would be in Gucci. I'm locking it in. Someone would be in Gucci on that Texans offensive line photo. What? You want us to pose in our battle red stuff? Nah. You know how much I pay for this? Like, I gotta look for this photo shoot.
They're gonna be wearing those sunglasses with the gold trim on them. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you got the money. Pay for whatever you like.
It'd be better. It's not really on theme though. That's me as the photographer.
Hey, guys.
it's not really on theme.
The Great Wall of Kirby isn't. This isn't exactly present that.
Listen, we can't put you in the Chinese hats. All right, it's 2024.
Yeah, that's a bit over the top.
This idea would have been great in the late 90s because they would be dressed up.
I don't know.
They would be.
Laramie Tunsil.
It would not have aged well.
Laramie Tunsil in traditional Chinese gear. I'm not sure about that.
No. It's something that would happen at the time, and then now we would go, I don't love that.
Whose idea was that? No one in the room told him no?
Exactly. They know this lives on forever with the internet? And then, no, they didn't.
The internet didn't exist. Who knew the internet was a thing back then? It's the reason all the things in the 90s happened. They wouldn't happen today. Okay. Chris Sims, reasonable, which is surprising for him. I am surprised the Texans, according to him, haven't advanced what they are on that offense because that was the expectation. And so far, it doesn't look as such. They'll get an opportunity to fix it on Monday against the Cowboys. When we come back, we'll talk about what happened last night with the CFP rankings. Not many surprises. Some consternation from SEC country about where Georgia is and the fact that the Big Ten is dominating the top five. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
New CFP rankings are out. I didn't watch the show. I was watching day one of the NBA Cup. Exciting night of basketball. All the new courts. Joel Embiid was back. Did not matter. Sixers got beat late. That game was competitive until late as the Knicks pulled away. As you might imagine, Joel Embiid was rusty. Of course, it didn't take long for Shaq to take his shot. Said he needs to change the way he thinks if he ever wants to win a title. I'm going to predict it right now. Going out on a limb here, I know. He's never winning a title. Not as a star player. Let me give myself some breathing room. He's never winning a title as the best or top two player on a team. If he wants to go ring hunt later in his career, he may win one that way. But as a star player on a team, not happening.
Dwight Howard style.
Yeah, if he just goes around looking for a spot. Tracy McGrady did that too. If he wants to do that, that might happen.
McGrady got close. So close.
Shout out Ray Allen for that one. But Joel Embiid, stop it, Shaq. He needs to change his attitude. Forget it. It's over for Joel Embiid winning.
It's also like what I to me, it's like what specifically does he have to do to change?
What is he, like 30-something years
old? Yeah, he's 30 with terrible knees. Yeah, he's had terrible knees since he was 20.
Yes. Yeah,
so, like, what?
Yeah. Yes. Like, that has not changed.
I feel like that gets lost in all the, like, Joel Embiid stuff is that, like,
His body
betraying has always
him.
Sucked.
Yeah.
The reason he wasn't the number one pick is because he got hurt at Kansas.
He has been hurt the entire time we've known him as a basketball player, he's been hurt in some way, shape, or form, or about to get hurt.
Or dealing with injuries or something like that.
Whether it be Pascal Siakam breaking his face.
Yeah, some of them in the playoffs haven't actually been like, they've been fluky.
But there's been something. And that title thing is not happening. The combination of Paul George.
Yeah, I was also going to say, maybe if you put him on not even a better team, just like
Joel Embiid,
a different team.
Daryl Morey running it. It's all coming together to not work out. Just cut it out.
Maxie's the guy I believe in the most. Yeah. It might just be because I've seen the least of them.
Least amount of failures for Maxie in the playoffs. You haven't seen that yet. I'm not ruling out Maxie, but it'll be after that Joel Embiid is a star player for them. Like if Like, Maxie's, what, 23, something like that?
Yeah, like, he's like 20.
Four draft. Or 5 years from now when he's in his prime, Maxie might be a star player on a title team. But he won't be doing it with Joel Embiid. We can stop talking about that, like that's happening. All right. I got the CFP rankings actually in front of my face because they're on McAfee right now on television. And the big thing was the Big Ten had four teams in the top five. Oregon at one, Ohio State at two, Penn State at four, and Indiana at five. Indiana finally got their respect. It took Miami and Georgia losing. And Georgia got punished more by the committee than they did by the AP. And Miami got punished less. Miami dropped to like 12 in the AP, and they're nine with the committee. And, of course, because they're still the top-ranked ACC team, they are the four seed. The seeds go like this. Oregon 1, Texas 2, BYU 3, and Miami 4. And those are projected seeds because the seeds won't be determined until we have conference champions. And then, obviously, they will seed the remaining teams for the at-larges. We throw the non-Power 4 champion, highest-ranked one, which at this point stands to be Boise State in there. So right now, Oregon, clearly your number one team in the country, and Georgia, the team who seems to be punished the most. And I don't disagree. They have two losses. Now they have the win over Texas at Texas. At this point, the second-best win of the year. Maybe you think it's the best win of the year. When you think about Oregon, they did beat Ohio State, but that was a home game for Oregon. So you can choose which one you think means more. They had the close loss to Alabama. They beat Clemson earlier this year, who is right now the 20th ranked team in the rankings. So Georgia's resume isn't bad, but they have two losses. And if you're going to lose two games, you should be punished for it. And they have the opportunity because Tennessee is ranked very high. Tennessee is seventh. If they beat Tennessee, they won't have to worry about this. They may be a team who makes the CFP without even playing in their title game, which the SEC is going to have a couple. But Georgia could be one of those teams who hosts a playoff game, and no one wants to go to Athens for a playoff game. But them being at 12, I think, is right, or excuse me, the last team out is right now, mostly because they have weeks to fix it themselves.
Yeah.
And they're a two-loss team. Yeah. At some point, you got to punish someone for losing two games.
Yeah, this will all figure itself out. And you can't put them above one of the other SEC two-loss teams because they lost to Ole Miss
and they lost
on Saturday.
And they lost to Alabama.
They lost to Alabama. So they are kind of – they're last in that line. Like, they've just lost to the teams that they're being directly compared to. Sorry.
That's just how it goes.
Yeah, win those games. I don't know.
You win them, you'll be fine. So we'll play – this from noted honk Paul Feinbaum.
What do you have to do to be a honk? Come on.
Him. You got to be him.
Okay.
No, you. I don't know what the official definition
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like at what point did
but
you go
have,
from...
There has to be a clear bias.
From Paul Feinbaum to SEC honk Paul
There
Feinbaum.
Has to be a clear bias, and everyone knows it, and no one's surprised by what you say. Like,
okay.
If you come into something and you're given a topic and everyone can predict how you're going to feel about it,
okay.
You're a honk.
So if we say... We will play what Feinbaum said regarding Georgia's ranking in the latest college football playoff rankings. Everyone's like, I think he's not going to say they're too high.
Yes.
He's not going to
surprise us.
He's not going to say, get him out of there.
Yeah. So that's what makes him a honk.
Okay.
It's very,
okay. That's fair.
Very profitable, but doesn't mean he's not a honk.
I'd love to be an SEC honk.
You're going places when you're one of those.
I know.
Here's a honk, Paul Feinbaum, on the latest rankings.
You have to start by saying that what the committee said last night was a complete travesty. There's no getting around it. And I know they work hard. They sit in a room at a five-star resort ordering caviar and champagne and sit around and talk about college football when they have 4,000 numbers to look at. So I don't know how they came up with these numbers. Georgia started the season, Greeny, against Clemson, which has been ranked which was in the top 10 at the time. Their road schedule has been the toughest of anyone in the country, as you pointed out. They went to Alabama, Texas,
lost
and then Ole Miss. They've all
lost.
Been ranked in the top 10. They also went to Kentucky, which has been very poor, but they did beat Ole Miss, which is ranked inside the system.
And Georgia lost.
They have a chance. They'll play Tennessee this weekend, and if they win, they'll probably end up back in the committee's good graces. But how the committee can disrespect them and put schools like Penn State? Are you serious? What has Penn State done this year? Do they even have a – their most impressive win, I think, was at Southern Cal, a five-loss team, and against Michigan, another five-loss team. Somewhere in there they beat Illinois, which I haven't seen in a couple of weeks. There's no justification for it. I know I'm getting excited because there's still 3 weeks to go, but how can you not be outraged at what we heard?
Who's outraged? Why would you be outraged? Even if I believed everything he said. Why would I be outraged? If I agreed, I wouldn't be outraged. He just laid it out. There's 3 weeks to go. Georgia has every opportunity to be part of this. Just beat Tennessee. Beat Tennessee and you're fine.
He's spitting with that Penn State part.
Yeah, look, Penn State, understood.
He picked the perfect team for to be like, hey.
Particularly this show to not push back on. But I will say this, Penn State, as much as you want to disrespect them, they are benefiting from what Georgia normally benefits from. Wherever they were ranked when the season started, that is pushing them up the rankings because they only have the one loss. And the one loss, by the way, is to Ohio State at home. So while he was talking about all the things Georgia did going on the road
and losing,
Penn State lost at home, but to the second-ranked team in the country. None of Georgia's losses are as good as Penn State losses.
No. Sorry. I mean, their losses are to, what, 10 and 11? Or 9 and 11?
Sorry. So if we're – and – you don't get to compare yourself to another team if you have one more loss to them. You can only do that, in my eyes, when the losses are even. If you have – you know what happened? When you were a one-loss Georgia and Penn State was a one-loss Penn State, you were ahead of them. And then you dropped the game and got your ass kicked, so you dropped. You got punished for not just losing, for being non-competitive against Ole Miss. You don't get to whine if you go on the road and get beat by 3 scores. Particularly when you are given every advantage because you are Georgia. You're expected to be good. People are going to give you the benefit of the doubt all the time. And then you got beat. And you know what? The problem for you, Paul Feinbaum, is they didn't think that much of Ole Miss. But they had to rank Ole Miss ahead of Georgia, so Georgia had to fall behind them. That's how it worked out. Ole Miss is at 11. If they would have ranked Ole Miss higher, Georgia would have been higher. But because you can't justify keeping Ole Miss at a certain spot because they have a couple losses, including to Kentucky, you have to drop them. It is what it is. Beat Tennessee and you'll be fine. Pena, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Paul Feinbaum. Told you he's a honk.
That was very honk. That was a very honk
if
sounding.
If you didn't like my definition of honk, the sound from Paul Feinbaum is the definition of a honk.
We need an ACC honk to get up there and say SMU's ranking is a travesty.
They don't have anyone. Who are they going to talk to? West Durham? They don't have anyone. There's no star SEC commentator. They don't make those guys. He's not on the network. He works for CBS. They never made the ACC a priority, and rightfully so. It was Clemson and no one else for years, and now it's this combination of teams, they're okay, but they're not great, who are trying to make it to the playoff. They've never had to have an ACC honk.
Is Mark Richt still on the ACC now?
He is, but he's
also an SEC honk. That's the
problem.
He's
a Georgia guy, and Mark Richt has some health issues. I'm not sure he can be asked to be the honk that Paul Feinbaum is.
Get up and yell
at Paul Feinbaum. I don't think that's Mark Richt's bag right now. Payne, we'll get to you when we come back. But first, Sean, let's talk about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks. You know what? I'm a honk for Prize Picks. I'm proud to say it. I'm a capital H honk for Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. They have all the action. If you wanted to get in on a little bit of the NBA Cup action, it was a wild night. Prize Picks would be the perfect place to do that. You have another chance. I mean, obviously, if you want to get on a non-NBA Cup action, you can still do that tonight. Rockets play. They have some discounts that they're offering right now for LeBron James, lowering his point projection. Same thing with Dennis Schroeder of the Brooklyn Nets. So that's really the deal with Prize Picks. They're always offering different specials on all sorts of different sports. Yesterday was also Taco Tuesday. They're offering discounts on player projections in the NBA and NHL. They got all the Maction. If you want Maction, they have NFL getting ready for Thursday night with the Commanders and Eagles. They have college basketball, women's college basketball, MMA that's coming up this weekend, European soccer, European basketball, esports, tennis. They have it all on Prize Picks. You're going to download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES, that's M-A-P-E-S, to get $50 off when you play your first lineup. That's code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 off your first $5 lineup.
You're listening to The Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I want you to remember, if you're driving around the city and you're looking for the best way to hear us, go to 97.9 HD2. If you have an HD radio, that's the best way. Doesn't matter where you are. East or west, north or south, got a clear signal, 97.9 HD2. Just wait for it a little bit. It'll click in a moment or two. Won't be immediate. And then you can listen to us clearly without any static, no matter where you are in the area. Okay, let's get to Pena. Anyone else want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776 before we wrap it up. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dale? Hey, man. Last night, so I was watching Deadpool and Wolverine for the fifth time, and before the movie came on, there were some previews of what's gonna come out next year on Disney Plus or whatever, and I saw that they're making a movie or a show about Chad Powers. That's crazy, man. They really got nothing else to make about, nothing else, no movies or shows to make about, but they're gonna make Chad Powers, I don't even know if it's a true story or not. It's just, I thought it was just a skit that Jared Goff did going in as a transfer quarterback. And when I was watching Deadpool Wolverine, I just started thinking, I wonder who Dale's favorite villain is in the Marvel world. Thank you and have a great day.
I appreciate it. Well, I think Jared Goff did it, but it's being based off of what Eli Manning did. Chad Powers is his character, and that's what Glenn Powell, he of Top Gun Maverick fame and Twisters 2 fame and that overrated romantic comedy with Sydney Sweeney on Netflix. I think it's now on Netflix. He's playing the role. And did he film in Austin? I know there was a game. I don't know if it was the Longhorns, but there was a game where during halftime they got in a shot of him running out with the team in a full stadium. They'll do that sometimes during a college football game at halftime. I don't remember where it was, but they're obviously filming during this season. I guess it'll be out in 2025. That's what it says. So, yeah, Chad Powers, based off that Eli Manning skit, and now it's going to be a thing on Disney. I don't think I'm watching it.
Really?
I don't really have any interest. I don't feel...
Why not?
I will have to wait for people to tell me it's good. I'm not going in watching that show.
It would be the biggest upset of all time if it was good. I mean, it feels like actually like good enough for people to recommend it.
Yeah, so if you don't know the bit, Eli Manning, obviously a grown-ass man, former NFL quarterback, pretends to be a high school recruit. He goes to one of those camps and
they put him in like makeup and prosthetics.
He went to a Penn State camp.
It was like a walk-on thing.
I think it was like a walk-on invite. Hey, can you, if you're good enough, you can be one of our walk-ons. And obviously everyone's like, ooh, look at this guy throwing the ball all around.
He's also like 6'5".
Yeah, doesn't really fit the profile of a walk-on, certainly. And then eventually it's like, wait a minute, that's Eli Manning. So that's what this is going to be about. I think it is. I don't know exactly what it is. Is it going to be a grown man sneaking in? He's like a washed-up 30-year-old, and he's going to pretend to be a college-age quarterback? Is that what it is?
I mean, I have no idea what the plot of this movie is going to be, or this series.
Yeah, it's a series, yeah.
It's going to be. I imagine it's going to be like Back to School starring.
Okay, here's the premise. When bad behavior nukes hotshot quarterback Russ Holiday's college career, he disguises himself and walks onto a struggling Southern football team as the talented, affable Chad Powers. So, yes.
Okay. It's kind of like Joanna Man, actually, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a lot of those movies did that back then.
Because if he's already a college quarterback.
No, he once was.
Okay. So he will be a grown man.
He will be a grown man who says, you know what? I could do this. So he sneaks back on, pretends to be someone else to play quarterback and relive and, I guess, and do his college career over again. And we'll find out what happened to him and why his career ended the way it did. And I'm sure there'll be a redemption arc and all that type of stuff.
He'll have to tell the truth to somebody.
Yeah. Someone will catch him. Someone who was a giant fan of Russ Holiday.
Just like one of his coaches or something.
Yeah, maybe his head coach is like, all right, man, we got a chance here.
We got Russ Holiday.
And you got to use a Southern.
Russ Holiday is such a great name.
It's a great name. A Southern team, because some Southern coach would be like, can I win games with this guy?
Yeah.
That's the expectation of a Southern football coach to do it, because nobody in the Midwest would ever do something like this.
No. They don't want it bad enough.
No, exactly.
They don't want it bad enough.
Exactly. You know what will happen? It'll be his love interest, and he'll have to confess to her something.
That has the opportunity to get a little awkward if he's at college finding a love
interest. The problem is he'll probably like fall in love or like a professor.
Hopefully she's a senior.
A young professor.
Okay.
It'll probably be that. Where
his
she's
TA?
Like, not even. It'll be an actual like professor where he starts to hit on. She goes, you're too young for me. And you go, actually, look at me. Do I look that young?
Actually, I'm Glenn Powell.
Yeah. Look at me.
I'm in my 30s.
Except he won't look like Glenn Powell. He'll have like the Chad Powers makeup on that Eli did.
Will he?
I've seen some of the of the shots.
It's kind of like the Penguin.
Yeah. Except not as much. But yeah, it'll be like the Penguin where.
Not as.
You'll know it's Glenn. Well-liked. Like, except you'll know this is Glenn Powell. Like, if you looked at that, you wouldn't tell that's Colin. You couldn't tell that's Colin Farrell. You'll know this is Glenn Powell. But like Eli put on makeup that changed the way his nose looked and stuff like that. So it'll be that type of thing. But he'll still look like an athlete. So it'll be that.
Can't wait.
Yeah. As far
can't wait for the weekly breakdowns.
Not for me.
With the MC.
I'm going to have to wait for you guys to tell me it's good. Treat that like Venom for me. Who's my favorite Marvel villains? That's the other thing you asked about?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Obviously, Thanos is easy. Killmonger, because I appreciate the violence that Killmonger operated with. I like a serious villain. I don't like jokey villains. That I'm thinking a lot about live action. You can go cartoons and Magneto's always great. But live action, as far as the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'm gonna go with Ms. Marvel. Okay. No. I would go with Thanos is easy, but that's the one.
Really?
Who's better in the cinematic universe?
The whatever the name of Mickey Rourke's character in Iron Man 2?
Since you can't remember his name, he's disqualified. If you can't even remember.
I'm just trying to think of random.
Yeah. They haven't. The problem
I forgot
for,
it. Yeah.
The problem
Loki?
For them. Loki's pretty good. Now they've positioned him as an anti-hero. And now in this case, just a hero. The problem is Marvel hasn't had a lot of great villains. Just what it is. If they had more, I would have a better answer for you than Thanos.
The guy from Ant-Man?
Not Kang.
No, the other guy. The first Ant-Man original. Please.
No. Like, Ivan Vanko was Mickey Rourke's there name. How could you forget?
Whiplash. Yeah.
Yeah, that was his
I knew it was
comic
Whiplash,
book name. Yeah, Whiplash. No, it's Thanos. But Killmonger was different and new, and he operated at a level that I appreciate when it comes to pretty much F everyone. There was no redeeming qualities for Killmonger. I don't like redemption arcs for villains.
I can't wait for season 2 of The Penguin where we get the introspective stuff from Maz.
Nah, not after what he did.
Just being like, you know what?
There's no redeeming Oz after what he did.
Yeah, there really isn't.
Just watch it if you haven't seen the season.
I want a season 2.
I think he'll get some scenes, and he's already confirmed Colin Farrell that he'll get scenes in the Batman.
But they're talking about a season 2.
I have. I don't know if I want one.
Although him moving and shaking, that would be fun. As like, I mean, this is barely a spoiler, but him more established in the Gotham scene.
Then we would have to get Batman though. If he's like a full on supervillain, he's dressed like the actual Penguin.
Yeah.
Batman, you can't have Penguin without the Batman. Like the come up, you can do that without Batman. If he's dressed up as a Penguin and he's a real supervillain, we're gonna have to have the Batman make an appearance.
I guess.
I don't mind the Selina Kyle Sophia team up that could happen in season two. If you can get Zoe Kravitz, that'd be cool. We referenced the Penguin because Eric called about it and I didn't get to it. That'll kind of wrap up the show. Appreciate you calling in, Pena. Marvel does need better villains. Unfortunately, they have missed the mark in that regard. We'll see if who the real villain is in the new Captain America movie. Is it Red Hulk or is it someone else? The trailers for those came out the last week or so. What did I want to get to before we were thrown off track by as people say, cartoon stuff? We talked about the Colts bringing back Anthony Richardson as their starter. Trevor Lawrence, you should expect him back against the Texans. He won't play against the Lions this week, but post-bye, he thinks he'll be back, or they think he'll be back in that first game against the Texans. We didn't talk a lot about what happened in the NBA other than if you missed what happened last night. First night of the NBA Cup, the Rockets have their first game of that tonight against the Clippers and KPJ. It was a good night of basketball. We had
tonight is not an NBA Cup night.
Oh, it's the next game. You're right.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
You're
or
right.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
You're right. Tuesdays and Fridays. You are correct. Tonight is a regular night, and you'll get to see them in their on their regular court. Friday is the night you'll get to see them on their new court. So you had the Hawks going in and winning on a last second shot. Klay went back to Golden State. He had a big shot in the fourth quarter. Of course, Steph Curry took over. Made a big shot, did the night-night celebration. And if we're talking about what this show loves, a giant mistake by a head coach cost his team the game. On a night when you don't have Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero goes for 40, including making like three threes over the course of like 40 seconds to tie the game before overtime, and then in overtime makes what looked like the game-winning bucket, Detroit runs a great out-of-bounds play. Shout out to Bickerstaff. They get a wide-open dunk. And because he was so upset, Eric Spoelstra called a rage timeout.
Yeah, frustration timeout already halfway on the court.
The problem for him is he didn't have a timeout. It resulted in a technical. So you go from being up by two with 1.8 seconds to go to losing because the coach lost his mind for a second, called a timeout. Malik Beasley hit the game-winning free throw. And then I think the Heat committed another foul, led to another free throw. So they lose. And It's just a mistake by Eric Spoelstra. Something you don't expect from a guy of his caliber.
LeBron was right in 2010.
LeBron wouldn't have a title.
Tyler Hero should shoulder checked him after the game.
Why? So he could be out for 2 weeks? Tyler Hero being healthy is not a normal thing. Let that man stop making body contact.
Bam Adebayo was like, he's letting us down.
Bam.
Everyone's like, Bam Adebayo. Bad,
we've seen your year. That Olympic thing, that hangover is a thing for you. Pick it up. Why is Tyler Hero the best player on the team? That's on you, Bam. We're done for the day. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. And since we're done, what does that mean?
We did it!
We are. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is ESPN 97.5.
This is Ron Insano with your market scoreboard report on ESPN.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.